right. Well, I did promise Gloria last week that I'd have some jokes, so I'll get them out the way with. I don't know if you've heard that Elon Musk has built the first restaurant on the moon with his SpaceX program. He's got something on the moon already, and the ratings, they're mixed. Some people are saying it's incredible food. Other people are saying there's just no atmosphere. You know that kids' games, don't you love kids' games? The best games are just the simplest games. And my mates and I played a game of hide and seek the other day. It went for 4 hours. You know, good friends are hard to find. An old boss of mine told me I'd never amount to much. Just because I procrastinate all the time, I told him, well, just you wait. Two dung beetles walk into a bar and ask, are these stools taken? I asked, all right, the last one, how many pastors does it take to change a light globe? Only one. But the light globe's got to want to change. Suppose, speaking of change, I really hope this morning in the next half an hour that we will allow God to change the way we think about Him, and particularly about praying and prayer. That's my hope. I just really hoping that this term will be an adventure in faith where we get to have a richer than ever experience of prayer and those opportunities of demonstrating God's goodness wherever we are. So I wanted to start off with a 3-minute recap for anyone who wasn't here last week, or just as a reminder for those who were. The vision that God's given us is to be a family of wholehearted people, becoming unmistakably like Jesus, and particularly that last part, going out of our way to boldly demonstrate God's goodness wherever we are. And I think by far that is the most challenging, and I think it will also be the most enriching and the way in which God will grow our church if we can steward the opportunities. We talked about the people that God places around us. We have friends, family, people who we don't know or who live a different kind of life to us, people who are foreigners, and foes, people who are enemies. And throughout our week, we're going to come across people who we're either really close to and we get on with easily, and we will come across, whether we spend any time with them, but with people who are more difficult, the enemies, the people who are strange or difficult or different, or we think may not like us. And so God positions people all around us, and He sets them up for us, and He will highlight some of them that He wants us to connect with, and He gives us the opportunity of demonstrating His goodness. I mean, we still do it with our friends and family, but we also want to do it with the people who we don't get on with. That's the Jesus way of living and loving. And the different ways we talked about how we can demonstrate His goodness is through praying for people, through blessing people, through forgiving people, for being generous to people in all sorts of different ways. That servanthood of Jesus, just being willing to be a servant, be a slave to people, show compassion, have empathy, and be willing to do something about people's position, to be kind and to be caring. So they're just some of the different ways that we can demonstrate God's goodness, and we're going to look through those during this term. And the difference between being able to demonstrate God's goodness to those people who we are close to and get on with, we still need God's grace to do that, but we need more grace, more and more grace. Grace is just such a powerful, beautiful thing that God just wants us to experience for ourselves and to be able to allow other people to experience. And it's multifaceted. It's both a couple of different expressions of grace is God's unconditional love, just loving people the way Jesus would want to love them, regardless of whether they deserve it and how they respond to our love. The other aspect of grace is that it's God's empowering presence for us to live the way that God designed us to, even when we don't feel like it, God gives us grace. And it's just that beautiful encouragement in Scripture that God will give us the grace if we ask Him to be able to love the people even furthest from our heart. God is able to make all grace come in abundance to you so that you may always, under all circumstances, regardless of the need, have complete sufficiency in everything that you do. And just that beautiful warning that this demonstrating God's goodness won't just happen, does require us to go out of our way, does require us to be available and interruptible, especially for these folks. We need to be asking and looking for those opportunities. It requires a posture of humility, obedience, and being willing to sacrifice. It's not easy. It's the most difficult aspect of our vision, I believe. And the other danger is that we can sometimes demonstrate God's goodness so that we benefit from it. Whereas God wants us to demonstrate His goodness purely for the benefit of the recipient and for their, and it connecting them with God. Is that okay? Excellent. All right. So my question for us today is, what would help you to pray more, and what would help you to enjoy prayer more? What would help you to pray more, and what would help you to enjoy prayer more? So I'll just get you to close your eyes, if you could, just for 30 seconds, and just consider what would actually help you to pray more, and what would help you to enjoy prayer more. So four things I want to do this morning is, one, I want to tap into the minds of some people who have inspired me in prayer. So if I could invite up Ben and Chris and Tina and John, if you could just come and grab a seat on the couch. I'm going to be asking these guys a number of questions around prayer. I've got a very short video, 5-minute video, just around intercessory prayer. I've got a very short teaching from Jesus that I found so helpful in praying for people. And then we want to finish off by activating ourselves in prayer. So, if I could get Brian, speaking of prayer, to pray for us. If you want to actually grow in the grace of prayer, if you want to enjoy prayer more, if you want to have a healthy life of praying more, can I just invite you to posture yourself, whether that put out your hands, close your eyes, whatever's going to be helpful, just to receive what God wants to deposit in you this morning. Thanks, Brian.
Lord God, you called your house a house of prayer. And prayer comes from the heart. Lord, as we speak about prayer here this morning and answer the questions, we actually ask that it goes into our hearts and into our minds. Lord, people, when they ask me about spiritual warfare, as soon as you open your mouth up in prayer, you're in spiritual warfare. So, Lord, that's why I believe you say it's a house of prayer. Lord, and help us to enjoy prayer, and help us to see the needs of prayer, and help us to seek what you want to pray for us, Lord Jesus, so we can come into agreement with you. We ask all this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Brian. Okay, so I could have invited a whole bunch of different people up here, so just if you two can share that one. And the last thing I want you to do is to compare yourselves with other people's prayer. I just want you to just have that posture of just receiving. And these are people who have inspired and encouraged me in the way that they pray. And so I just wanted to start off with a question: what motivates you to pray, and what do you enjoy about praying?
Prayer is so important, a real important part in our relationship with God and knowing Him and interacting in a two-way relationship with God, not just one way. And what I love about prayer is That's a vehicle for that to happen, just listening to the Lord, praying for things. But I also really, really like that we get to do bidding on behalf of God. We're just vessels. Lord, what do you want to pray? What do you want us to do for somebody? Or you can be used as a vessel by God to do his bidding on behalf of someone else or something that he wants. And that's what I really enjoy about prayer and what motivates me to pray.
Yeah. Tina.
When I was younger, I prayed because I thought I had to. I thought that's what it meant to be a good Christian. So now that I'm older and more mature in my faith, I know that it's one way that I get to know the Lord more. Compassion also motivates me to pray. If I see something and I feel compassion, it motivates me to pray. If I have a need or a want or helping others, like Ben was saying, if you see something and you want to help another person. And sometimes it's actually just sheer obedience. Sometimes I don't want to pray. Sometimes I don't want to show up. And those days, it's obedience that gets me there because I know that's where I need to be.
Yeah, thanks, Dana. Chris?
For me, I think recognising that God is my source of everything. There's lots of things in life that I enjoy and are good, but they're not ultimately satisfying. And so when I come to God in prayer, like he's my source. He's my source of so many things. But yeah, I think I need to pray. That's what motivates me.
John, what motivates you to pray, or what is it that you enjoy about prayer?
Yeah, really similar to what Chris was saying. I just resonate with that because I think it's really easy to be independent, especially in this day and age, to, you know, it's easy not to be reliant on God. And I think prayer is really an act of humility that returns us back to our need for God. In terms of what motivates me, I think for me, what's been helpful is thinking about, like, what do I actually believe about prayer? And similar to what Tina was saying, I think often we can believe that prayer is a task, that prayer is a thing to be done. I think because it's a kind of spiritual discipline, we can kind of set it up as this thing to be done. But really, prayer is an invitation. And if we think about it in the context of our apprenticeship to Jesus and that we get to follow Jesus, it's actually an invitation into that relational piece. And the other thing is, like, which is probably more important, is like, do I believe that prayer does anything? Do I believe that prayer is actually effective and that I can move the heart of God? Like, that's a really dangerous thing to believe. And if we're not in the place where we actually believe that prayer is effective, we're not going to be motivated to pray because we think, you know, it's just, you know, shouting into the wind. So I think if we really interrogate our own beliefs about that stuff and think, you know, do I actually believe that when I pray, God is listening and would actually be compelled to do anything on my behalf? If we truly can't say yes to that, like, that's probably the place I would start, is like getting into a place where we can believe that and working through what we need to work through so that we can actually truly come to God in a way that makes us think something's going to happen here when I pray.
So I just love, there's just so much that happens in prayer, and in the video in a minute we'll talk about how prayer not only has the opportunity of changing life around us but can change us as well. Can you just, Ben, maybe if you can talk to either one of two questions: how has your approach to praying changed over time, and how has prayer changed you?
Yeah, we did get these questions in advance, so I did spend time reflecting on this. Been a Christian for 20 years and recognising, wow, my prayer life has changed so much from then to where it is today. And there were many things, the way my approach to prayer has changed, but two key things, what John mentioned, expectation. We're in a relationship with the living God, who is a very, very kind father, who, what father, if you ask him for a fish, would give you a stone? The Father wants to answer our prayers. But I did go through a season of my prayers weren't effective. And I asked God, why do I not see answered prayer? And this is a question I think a bit later, but what I learnt was to stop praying your own will, spraying and praying, or praying what you think you should pray for somebody, and just learning to sit before God and asking God, what do I pray? God showed me that he has more information than we do at all times. He sees in the dark places. He sees in the spiritual realm. We very often only see what's here on the earth. And when we pray our will, it's something that's very temporal. Usually, oh, I pray that pain goes away, or that happens, or this happens. Well, you can't change God's will for that person's life. So how about you just pray my will for that person? And so I started seeing prayers being more effective through praying what the Father wants us to pray. Mm-hmm. So I no longer do that, pray my own will. I try to hear the Lord and pray what he says. But in Matthew 6, in the Lord's Prayer, you'll see Jesus taught us how to pray. Pray like this. And in the 10 things that Jesus says to pray, 9 of those are eternal focus. There's only one that's a temporal focus here on the earth. Give us today our daily bread. So a lot of praying in the will of God and asking God, how do I pray for this person or that circumstance, or what do you want in my life? A lot of what you're going to be led to pray for is something way beyond what your mind knows and comprehends and sees, because God sees everything. And so I now don't waste my time. I just pray what God wants me to pray.
John? Just curious to know, from your early days to now, how has God changed the way you pray, or changed you in the process of praying?
Yeah, I think a lot of it has been that kind of move from very task focused, and I'm pretty type A and very task oriented in life in general. So it can be easy to approach prayer in that way and just like have my list of people or my list of concerns and just kind of like get it done, very efficient. but I don't think prayer is an exercise in efficiency, unfortunately. It'd be easier if it were, if I could just get it done. But it's actually, there's so much in that returning to God piece. I think, they brought up the Lord's Prayer. I think when the disciples asked Jesus how to pray, he spends most of the first half of the prayer not even what we would call praying. Like, it's really an act of alignment in this first half. You think about that first half of the Lord's Prayer. Jesus is reminding himself of who God is and actually aligning himself and saying, your will be done, your kingdom come. This is the mission. This is what I'm here. Like, there's so much of it that isn't actually like prayer and petition, but it's actually Jesus going, remind yourself of who God is and who you are as a result, and position yourself. It's a posturing so that we're in the place where we can then make those requests. That's a much more powerful place from which to actually like make those requests and make those things known to God. So I think for me, like, it's slowly learning to, in those times, instead of just, praying at God, like praying in God and with God, and actually like finding, spending time to connect and spending time to kind of actually acknowledge the actual presence of God when you pray. Like, it seems really obvious that God would be present in that moment, but oftentimes it's just like, just the spraying and praying like Ben's talking about. So I think more and more, I think my prayer looks kind of silent and contemplative, like, because it's like, I actually just want, like, I don't want to move forward until I'm in a place where I feel like, it's me and God, and that union has kind of, like, I'm aware of that. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, thanks, John. Tina? Again, I'm sure what other people say first, sorry, you can't all speak at once, but yeah, anything they're kind of adding on to.
Well, I love what Ben and John have spoken about on their approach to prayer. So I'd actually like to talk about how it's changed me, because that was the other part of the question. I've grown so much over my years of talking with God. I've had my heart changed, my mind and my perceptions changed. I'm more like Jesus than I've ever been, and I'm looking forward to changing more and more like him still. My dreams and plans for my life have changed. My relationships with others have changed, and I have friendships that I couldn't have opened up to without him healing my heart. I'm more patient, I'm more kind, and I think about myself less and about others more. I see things I was blind to before, and I understand his kingdom and his ways more because he's challenged my thoughts and beliefs.
Mm. Great, thanks, Tina. Chris, the way that you've gone about praying, how has that shifted?
Well, yeah, many of those things. I think a couple of other things. One is I think I've learnt to be more honest with God and tell him how I'm really feeling, which I never used to feel was okay. But yeah, I've just been in Psalm 22 lately, and I've been camped there, and Psalm 22 is, you know, like, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far away? All of that. It's David being really, really honest with God, but then saying, yeah, you're holy, and you're, you know, this is who you are. And then he goes back to how he's feeling, and then he goes back to God, and it's like this incredible kind of journey in just heart honesty. So I think that's a big part of what's changed for me as I've grown.
It's huge. We're obviously looking at praying and demonstrating God's goodness, both in how praying for someone is a way of demonstrating God's goodness and how prayer can lead us to demonstrate God's goodness in other ways. I might skip over the praying individually because they'll get covered in our short video, but just wondering when you, I don't know about you, when people say, let's pray for the nations, or let's pray for Australia, or let's pray for our suburb, or let's pray for this organisation or group of people. How do you pray? How do you think God wants us to pray for groups of people?
I have no idea. It's actually in my notes. I have no idea. I don't know. I don't know what other people need or what's best for them, but I know who does know. I always ask the Lord because I don't have a clue. Yeah. He sees things I don't, and he shows me his heart for the people he wants me to pray for. Yeah. It looks like me asking the Father what he says about them, Jesus what he's praying for them, and Holy Spirit what he's also praying for them. They usually all have something different that is aligned with each other. And most important, praying from a genuine love for the person or organisation. And that can actually be the first thing that you pray for God to give you his love for them.
Yep. Yep. So, our spoiler, but our challenge for the prayer challenge for this week is like praying for people in our communities. So, how do you think God would encourage us to do that, for praying for a whole street of people, a whole group of people? Any thoughts around that, John?
I think prayer and faith is a little bit like a muscle. I think you've got to work it over time to kind of build that strength. So I think, and really it comes back to that question of like, do I believe prayer is effective? I think if you're still early on in that journey, I think praying for the nations is going to feel really like, it's going to be like, this is a drop in a bucket. Like, but actually as we continue on that journey, like God says, ask of me and I'll give you nations. Like it's like, this is the promise of, and It's that as we enter in, we realize that you move the heart of God, like you move the heart of the creator of the universe, and that like that's a mind-blowing thing and a thing that we ought to have reference for. But it's a moment that we get to enter into, and that when we bring those prayers, they're taken seriously, like that they're actually, that there's a God who listens and acts on our behalf. So yeah, like, I can't explain the mechanics of how it works, like, obviously. But I know that, like, deeply I believe that when I pray, it affects something. And I think for me, when I pray for nations, or I pray for, like, broad macro things like that, not like I'm vague, but I think it informs how we pray for those things. So, and this is where like entering in and being like in tune with the Holy Spirit like helps us to know how to pray. But I think at a minimum we can pray for leaders. Like that's the thing we're really clearly instructed to do, is like pray for our leaders and pray for governance and pray for peace as well. I think that's a real big one at the moment.
Thanks. Benny?
This may be a little bit off topic, but in terms of praying for communities, some time ago used to do some prayer walking around and just praying through streets, and it's a very important thing to do. But one thing that the Lord showed me when I was praying, and not even the act of praying, but as I was walking every step, the earth was rejoicing in my step when it would hit the earth. And that really struck me to go, whatever you're doing and praying, and this prayer walk that I was doing down this street all the time, you actually carry power. You don't see it, but like what John said, expectation. Go for a prayer walk. The earth is rejoicing when you take a step on it. You're a son or a daughter of the King, and you carry authority in Him to pray and change things as He sees fit. So I would suggest a prayer walk's a good one, and you also get exercise too.
Mm. Yeah. So, Chris, just like praying for... Again, your sub isn't. When we pray for our community, I'm not just talking about 2318 Madawi. I'm talking about your community, whether that's your physical neighbourhood, whether it's your school community, your work community. Just kind of, how would you encourage people to pray for?
I like the idea of prayer as a muscle. You don't start by lifting a 200 kilo weight. You know, like Jesus, is there one person in my work setting? Is there one or two people that you're already at work in? And listen to the Holy Spirit, because sometimes you'll be drawn to a particular person or, you know, a couple of particular people. And I know there's that sort of broad one where you're walking and perhaps ministering to a whole community in prayer, but maybe there's an immediate neighbour or someone that God just draws your attention to, and so then you kind of, well, what specifically do you want me to pray for them? And so, you know, start small. If the big seems really too big, start small. And then when you see, you know, as we see answers to those small things, that encourages and builds our faith and our expectation.
Two last questions. The one Ben referred to, unanswered prayer. How do you deal with it when you're praying what you believe is in the will of God for a specific situation and the outcome doesn't appear to be an answered prayer?
I think this is why it's so important for prayer to take place in the context of actually being present with God. And it's kind of to that honesty piece that Chris is talking about. I think, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think when our prayers are unanswered, I think the answer to that is almost to go and pray more, like to take that back to God, take that disappointment back to God, take that potential bitterness back to God. Obviously there's a broad range of unanswered prayer. There are really like impactful things where when it's unanswered, it's really like causes grief. And then there's the everyday stuff. But I think, yeah, the best thing we can do is actually resolve that in the context of relationship with God. The worst thing we can do is move away from prayer and say, well, didn't work, so not going to try that again, wasn't effective. Or we start to draw these lines and say, well, I'll pray for this, but I won't pray for this. You know, I'll pray generically, but I won't pray specifically for healing because that's too disappointing. Or, you know, we won't say that to ourselves, but that's the kind of lesson that we learn. And so we start to set up these lines and boundaries of what we will and won't pray for, or how we'll pray. And I had another point, but I've lost it. I'll pass it
on. Someone else will pick it up.
Yeah.
We pray. Tina.
Exactly like what John said, the first thing I do is I ask God, what's going on? You know, like, and I'm very honest and very blunt sometimes. This wasn't what I expected to happen, and I'm disappointed, I'm sad, you know, whatever. And then I usually ask, is there something in me that I need to change? You know, is it something, was I praying the wrong way and praying my will, not God's will, in that situation? And often he responds with things like, my ways are not your ways and my thoughts are not your thoughts. He reminds me of his love for me and for others, and he reminds me that he's trustworthy, even in tough and difficult situations. And then the hardest thing, I think, is surrendering my need to understand. I think unanswered prayer, you have to learn to be okay with the mystery of not knowing. And Bill Johnson said something that really struck me deeply to my core, and he said that he was sacrificing God on the need to understand. You know, he said it better than that, but, you know, basically my willingness to follow God was being surrendered, you know, on my need to understand, on this altar that I'd created to understand God. And if he didn't fit that box, then that was it, you know. So having to come to terms with, I don't know, I don't have the answers, and I may never get the answers this side of heaven.
Yep.
Yeah, being okay with that.
Okay, one last question. Time flies when we're having fun. Just in terms of demonstrating God's goodness and praying to ask God to show you opportunities, so maybe Ben and Chris to finish, what does that look like? What does it look like to pray to God to show you the opportunities of who, when, how to demonstrate his goodness?
Great way to start the day. Jesus, is there someone that's on your heart to be blessed or encouraged, or that you want to touch, you want to work in? Is there a situation that you want to shift? And so many times you find that you might be the answer or part of the answer to the prayer that you're praying. God might actually ask you to participate or partner both in prayer and in action, some act of goodness, demonstration, something practical. Often, but just start the day. Who do you want to bless? Who do you want to encourage? Who do you want me to... Maybe it's a text. Maybe it's a call, or a pop in, a visit, a bowl of soup, whatever. it's like that's the adventure that, you know, and I'm excited about this term, because I think what happens when 100 or 200 people go on an adventure with God to see how much of God's goodness they can give away, but listening to him. Just start your day with a listen. Is there someone that you want me to bless today? Someone you want me to share your goodness with today? Can you be preparing their hearts?
Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, very much what Chris said, but being sensitive to the Spirit throughout your day as well, being interruptible. As an example, not too long ago, was getting my hair cut, and the Lord said to pray for this hairdresser. Out in the public, it was at Just Cuts, Raymond Terrace, and Braden was there as well with me, and I said, excuse me, can I pray for you? I had no idea why, not even idea if she was of faith. And then she just said, oh my goodness, please pray for me. I've got cancer, I've got this, I've got that. My life's falling to pieces. And so we prayed right there on the spot, and I felt the presence of God come down so thick on this woman who was not a believer. It was incredible. But being sensitive to those moments where God is saying, that person, you need to minister to them, or you need to pray for them, or you need to stop and do something. I was sharing something earlier in the week about being at a restaurant, and the Lord brought these people in and said, you're paying for their breakfast. Family of four, big family, was a decent sized bill. But the reaction to those people absolutely blew the socks off this young family of four. And as they walked in, instantly the Spirit came on me and said, you need to bless those people. But maybe if I was distracted or not really listening, I may have missed it, but I don't know what that's done to that family. And quite often you don't get to see prayers answered or the goodnesses that you've been able to minister to someone from the goodness of God because he wants to minister to them. Sometimes you don't see it. So I guess just being sensitive throughout the day. God loves every single person on the earth. He totally wants to interrupt their lives with his goodness. And timing is important, and you have to be aware of when God is saying, move on my behalf for this person. So.
That's gold. That's gold.
All right, let's thank these people. Okay, just want to read a passage from Jesus, which, again, I'll give you a three-minute teaching that Matthew Bolte gave one night that just so helped me in my responsibility of praying for people. If I could invite two people, Helen, if you could come out here, and Paul, if you could. I don't want to kind of posture you. You don't have to do anything. All I want you to do is stand there and just put your hands out. If you could just stand up here. And put your arms crossed. Okay. So it's just a story that Jesus told about prayer that I found so freeing in my responsibility as the prayer. Then Jesus, teaching them more about prayer, used this story. Suppose one of you went to a friend's house at midnight, Helen coming to me, wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. I go to a friend's house and say, look, some friends of mine have arrived and I have nothing for him to eat. And my neighbour yells out, don't bother me, the door's locked for the night. My family and I are in bed, rack off, I can't help you. But I tell you this, though he won't do it for friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence. My responsibility, the shorter thing is that as an intercessor, as someone praying, I stand in the gap between someone who has a need and someone who has a provision. My responsibility isn't to provide the provision or the answer. My job is to take what the need is from someone and take it to the person who can provide that need. So I just want to just bless you with the release of expectation that you're to be the answer to the prayer that you pray for someone. That God wants to be. He doesn't want you to be God. Sometimes he may use you. Sometimes he might. But probably not most of the time. Most of the time, it's, I don't know how God's going to provide. All I'm doing is asking on your behalf. But I know he's good. And I know if we persist in prayer, that he will provide for you. So this week, Tuesday, is going to be our kind of nominal prayer day for the week. So if Tuesday works for you, we invite you to pray if you want to fast or whatever else. But this week, we just really want to encourage you to get out somewhere in your community and pray for the people around you, the people that God has placed around you in your street, whatever it might be, just ask him who to pray for and how to pray. And if possible, pray with someone else. Because God, just the two verses I'll finish on, and I'll get Jim to wrap up. These two verses, more than anything, may they just be on your mind. First of all, pray for all people. This is what God wants us to do, to be urged to pray for all people, ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. This is good and pleases God our Saviour, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. God wants us to demonstrate God's goodness through prayer, and he wants us to do it together where we can. When two believers on earth agree, that is, they're in one mind in harmony about anything that they ask, within the will of God, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, meeting together as my followers, I am there among them. So can I just invite you this week, if you can get together with one other person, someone you live with or otherwise, and just pray for the people that God's placed around you. Is that okay?